Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Ground Zero with Reginald Clemens. He's actually calling now. My name is Anaya Beth. I'm hosting and we'll be talking to you guys about the incident with Reginald.
If you would like
and
to permanently block your number from
the
receiving
officers
calls from
where
this
they
facility,
assaulted
press
him
six.
While they were in prayer.
Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation.
So Reginald's joining the conversation right now, and I'll let him chime in on introducing himself.
Yes, my name is Reginald Clemens, a.k.a. Kadir Wale. This is Ground Zero. We celebrate living the loving the movement, and we celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and individuals groups who have led us further from slavery and closer to full freedom from mass incarceration through efforts in justice reform and society at large. But one of the things that we like to do is try as best we can to have guests on that are trying to reduce, bring down the crime rate and justice reform and reduce victim impacts in our efforts to make society better. It starts on the street. Rehabilitation should start on the street prior to incarceration. For those that want to figure out how to disrupt the first pipeline, we want to encourage them to try and improve job and education opportunity in high crime rate areas and try to build wholesome communities so that we can have a community of families that can live more wholesomely and peacefully amongst each other and enjoy life together. And then we have to do that through faith and love and confidence in one another, the goodness and the same humanity of one another. And that's why we try to celebrate humanity instead of the chaos around us. And,
So thank you, Reggie. Let's get into what we'll be talking about for the next 20 minutes, which is breaking down into the subject and really analyzing what happened with you guys while you guys were praying.
Okay. One of the things I'd like to do is just read this conduct violation from February 28th, where we were attacked by guards while praying. That's the only thing we were doing. We weren't doing anything else. We weren't like making a bunch of noise or being disruptive or posturing or. If we wouldn't, there's no rule against us praying in our living area. And the violation, the way the violation reads is, on the above date and approximate time, I was called to House Unit 4, a wing, for a group of offenders who were praying and refused to disperse from the immediate area. At this time, I issued offender clearance, Fresno, 990102. Several directives to submit to restraints to which he refused. I then gave the offender a final warning that if he failed to submit to restraints, further action would be taken. The offender continued to refuse, and I applied a short burst of pepper spray, OC pepper spray, to the facial region of the. At this time, staff entered and assisted with placing restraints on by the offender's own action, this places him in violation of Rule 9.4, organized disobedience in 2021, disobeying an order. Madam, excuse me for the background noise. I don't have any control over that. Now, the interesting thing that I want people to pay attention to is how in this this paragraph, in these two paragraphs, in this conduct violation report, the only thing that we were told was right. And where it says that we refuse to submit to restraints, it says later other staff members entered the wing to assist with placing restraints on.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
At the time he was telling me to submit to restraints, I was looking behind me. For somebody who's behind me to handcuff me, there was nobody behind me to handcuff me. He was telling us to submit to restraints as a formality. It goes on to say, no, this action took place with seven total offenders who refused to disperse and other offenders on recreation in the wing. This resulted in spontaneous use of force. Reporting office employee Carl Hart and my statement at the time was, it was 2:18 a.m. when they read me this conduct violation. This incident took place at 9:13 p.m. But they brought the conduct violation report at 2:18 in the morning a.m. And it says, offender states, all I was doing was praying. And God would justify my right to praise him. And after that, it goes to the disciplinary action report board. And for disciplinary hearing. And that night, it was one of the most horrible days of my life, because to this day it still rocks me and replays in my mind, and in one of the worst possible way, where it's something I have to contend with emotionally and mentally, because all the events that took place, what faith I had in humanity, it rocked me. There was one of those seven guys that was praying was this white guy, who was praying with him. And they came and got him, and when they pulled him out of the crowd, they told him, come on with us before you get mixed. And that lets you know that their intention was to mace us from the beginning. And when he was, like I say, when he was saying, submit to restraints or be maced, submit to restraints or be maced, he was just going through the formality. And one of the things that we really, really need is we need a videotape, because it's on video. And the proof that it's on video is the next day after the incident, they called for...
You have 1 minute left.
All the Muslims to report to the chapel. And for a moment, we're going to take a short pause, and we'll resume in about a minute or so after we take this pause for identification.
All right. Oh,
the caller has hung up.
All right, y'all. So as y'all can see, Reggie shared a very vulnerable story for himself with us, and the effect that it has had on him is tremendous. Our ability to hold trauma and place trauma, just because he is a prisoner, does not make him incapable of experiencing trauma. And this is Reggie now.
An offender at the Jefferson City Correctional Center
is called from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
To accept this free call, press 1.
Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
In other words, the proof is in the fact that there was no time elapsed for there to be this long confrontation, as is explained in the, it wasn't enough time elapsed for the incident to have happened that way between the time they were confronted and the time they were maced, for there to be that long confrontation of, I gave him ample warning time to disperse. So it just shows that they are very quick to use force and unnecessary force.
Yes. Yeah, and one of the things they didn't give us enough time, because it only takes 5 minutes to pray. So for them to come in full force, you know what I'm saying, that's a quick reaction time to, for all these things to like take place secret in a synchronized way. So it was something that they had already decided they were going to do for them to respond and show up that fast. Also, they didn't give us time to submit, and they didn't take into account or care about the fact that we were allowed to be where we were at, because where it says that this was in the other offenders for the recreation were in the wing. We were in our recreation area where we're allowed to be in the wing. And the officer, Michelle Basham, who's a lieutenant, that was the initiating factor in all this, and her name is not in the report at all. They try to leave her out because her actions initiated this. And when we were praying, she walked up and stood in front of us with her hands on her hip in a power posture, right? And told the person leading the prayer to take your hat off. You're not allowed to wear a hat in the wing. And the guy leading prayer, he took his hat off. But once we start praying, we're not supposed to stop praying. The only reason we're supposed to ever stop praying is if our mother calls us. That's the only justifiable reason to stop praying. And we were peacefully praying, and we weren't bothering anybody. And she said, stop praying. You're only allowed to pray in the chapel. Well, this is during quarantine, and there's not a rule that says you're only allowed to pray in the chapel. You're only allowed to have religious services in the chapel. So she called in officer in distress, which is a order or a call sign that an officer is being attacked or physically grabbed in some type of way. There's some an officer is being physically threatened with a knife or somebody's trying to take him hostage or something extreme. And she, as a supervisor, she knows that, because she's a lieutenant. So Lieutenant Michelle Basham called that order in, and that's what initiated everything. And all this is on video. And how do I know all this is on video? Is because, like I said, the next day, they called everybody up to the chapel. They called all the Muslims up to the chapel and asked all the Muslims, and they explained to all the Muslims what had happened the night before. Because this happened on a Sunday night when the administration got here at 7:30 that morning. They called all the Muslims to come up to the chapel at 8 o'clock and tried to explain everything and told them, we're going to go and review the videotape. And when we review the videotape, if we don't see any signs of aggression on their part, we're going to throw out the conduct violations. Because if there's no aggression on our part, then that means we didn't do anything wrong. Because there is, and the warden stood there in front of the chaplain and all the Muslims and said that there is no rule against offenders praying in the wing. Offenders are allowed to pray in the wing. Prisoners are allowed to pray in the wing. And what's not on tape, on that tape, but the tape that they reviewed, where we did show any signs of aggression, is after they took us out. They took us out in our, I was barefoot. The only thing I had on was my socks. And they didn't give me a chance to put on my shoes or anything. And when Officer Horton, when he admitted us, it was the thought that crossed my mind was that if this man had a gun, he'd be shooting me in the face right now. And that's the look of anger and rage that was on his face, that if he could, he would kill us all. And it was horrible. And when the base went across my forehead, dripped down into my eyes, I couldn't see anything. I could hear. And as I went out the building,
you okay, Reggie?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right.
Just trying to gather myself in the right things around the background noise.
Okay.
And as we were escorted out the building, I could hear scuffling behind me, and I heard an officer say, "Who's the leader?" I said him, and I heard scuffling, and then I heard somebody say, "Get off of me! Stop! What you grabbed me for? What you did?" And I can't read. And then I heard a guard say that that can's empty. Get another one. I didn't know what was going on, but later on, I would find out that the white guy who was praying with us, Mark Holloman, he saw Stephen Stafford on the ground where they had slammed Stephen Stafford on the ground and had one knee in his back and one knee in his neck. But because they didn't mace him, this is the guy, the white, Mark Holloman is the white guy that they took out of the group and told him, come with us before you get maced. So they already predetermined in their mind that this is what they're going to do. And Mark Holloman told him, he's like, get off my brother. And that's when they realized that he's not blind by the mace, he can see them. And that's when they relieved pressure up off of Stephen Stafford a little bit. And guess because they didn't have any more maces spray in his face, they let him on up. But there's a camera right there, too, in front of Four House from that night. And we asked for all those videos to be preserved. Because there's cameras to videotape us as we walked over to medical. They didn't give us any medical attention. They took us to the door of medical and they wrote down their name and number and escorted us straight out of medical. So I was in medical less than 15 seconds. And 15 seconds is stretching it because it don't take that long to write down my name and number. But then they walked me from medical across a muddy field.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Across a muddy field and locked us in one house.
Mm-hmm.
In strip cells for over 16 hours, covered in mace. And then Stephen Stafford, because he felt like he was the leader of the situation, Stephen Stafford, they cut all his clothes up off of him and left him in the cell naked. And they left me in the cell and only my boxers and T-shirt. And my T-shirt was soaked in mace. And it was just burning my skin and burning my skin. I'm like, I'm just sitting in there. There's no mattress. There's nothing in the cell. Just this cold vent blowing on me. And I'm just sitting there freezing, feeling these chemical burns on my skin. And that's when they brought the conduct violation. And they told us that we're not allowed to have any clothing or bedding or anything after we receive our conduct violation, which was sometime after 2:18. So we didn't get our clothes or anything to wear or anything to sleep on. We didn't get anything until like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
We didn't get any showers or medical attention until after the meeting the next day when they called all the Muslims to the chapel.
At 7 a.m.
Yes.
Mm.
And right now, we have there's a lawsuit filed, Reginald Clemens versus Michelle Basham. It's pending in the Eastern District of Missouri.
Mm.
They later dismissed and exposed the conduct violations because they didn't see any aggression on our part. No, and they acknowledged the only thing that we ever did from beginning to end was we were praying. Like I said before, we were supposed to be in that area. We weren't, because it's the living area in the housing unit, out in the open bay area of the wing, where everybody hangs out every day. And something else that people do every day is exercise for like 2 and 3 hours in the same area that we were praying in. But they don't never stop people from exercising. And
right.
There's actually a rule against that.
Right, right.
And another piece of background information is Officer Hall Harvey. There was a complaint against him for harassing Muslims during Ramadan.
Mm. Yeah, the officers had previous history of aggressive violence. We're nearing our 5-minute mark, and this conversation will be continue. We'll do a part two, and we'll make sure that we have that we are closely analyzing what's really going on. But these 5 minutes, Reggie, is there anything you want to make sure you emphasize?
Yes, I've contacted the Council on American Islamic Relations. I've contacted the ACLU, the NAACP. I've contacted a lot of different attorneys and organizations. We don't have a lawyer yet. The last lawyer that I spoke to said that I'm not the kind of lawyer you're looking for. And abruptly got him off the phone and didn't give me a chance to explain or ask for a reference or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was heartbreaking enough to, like, get mates while I'm praying, while I'm trying to do something to be a better person. But and there's been people that's been trying, that have been working to help me find the Lord. But it's heartbreaking, and I haven't lost faith in God, but it makes me feel abandoned as well as abused. Not to be able to find a lawyer willing to step up. Not to be able to find an organization willing to step up when the evidence is clear. And the only thing we need somebody to do is step up and help us find, get that videotape.
Mm.
And you can see it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. See it for yourself. Look at the evidence for yourself. Don't take my word for it. I'm not asking you to. Just asking you to give me a chance for you to take a look at what's happened to us. And for anybody that wants to help, please donate. You can earmark your donation or state the amount that you're donating for the civil action against Muslims being maced for praying, or for against people being maced for praying at the AA Trust Fund. Go to the AA Trust Fund website and you can donate. There is a lawyer that says that they will represent us for a $10,000 retainer, and we're working on trying to raise that money. Please help. And any attorney that you know of, please send their information so we can try and contact them if they're willing to help.
So for the $10,000 retainer that we're raising to help continue the pursuit for justice, you can go to aatrustfund.org where you can donate. And then if you have any input, any comments, any availability for help or connection to get help, you can go to blog.aatrustfund.org and post any comment. We will respond and we will attend to have these conversations even aside from blog.
Thank you. I love you all for listening and appreciate you taking out the time to pay attention to a little piece of our humanity, and encourage you to continue on with celebrating humanity.
Cool. Thank you, and this was Ground Zero with Reginald Clements and Anaya Betts. We are tuning out.